This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Jeffrey Riley. By many measures, our next guest has lived an extraordinary life. Born in Japan, went to college in the United States, got multiple degrees, had a long and successful career. And then there's that singular event. Hideko Tamura Snyder was in Hiroshima when the first nuclear bomb attack destroyed much of the city. She wrote a book about her life, recently updated and published by Oregon State University Press. It is called One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima. Hideko Tamura Snyder is a longtime Rogue Valley resident and joins me in the studio to talk about her life. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to focus on the subject matter, One Sunny Day, which I wrote and recently published from the Oregon State University Press.
What has been updated in the book? What was added to this book from the original edition?
The original one came out in the 90s in Illinois, put out by Open Court. And I really didn't have much say-so in terms of the choice of cover. And it seemed somewhat distant for me. But this one brought additional information since that time of my life and activities. And I'm so happy. I mean, I can't tell you just enough how privileged I feel to have this opportunity to call, you know, people's attention to the book, because I think it's so important that they are aware of what's going on in my ultimate fear is, even if it might sound far away and distant, the earth is at peril because of what I experienced August 6, 1945.
That was actually one of the last things I wanted to ask you, but let's go right there about the fact that you're concerned about the world going back to where we were all those years ago.
Well, I think that people have become rather casual about the nuclear age. And because the United States engages with special forces and others in conflicts around the world, for good or bad, warring became a casual subject. And the use of nuclear weapons, even though 2017 ICAN made a big point to ban it, is something that maybe that, you know, one ought to have around. It's convenient to defend yourself. And they, from the depths of the heart of who I am, I hope and pray that you, I mean the public, is able to pay closer attention of the harm that's in it. I'm very, very happy Oppenheimer by ABC made quite a splash in the film industry and was quite honored to be a part of that movie. They asked me to come to their studio and take part in it, and I'm in the documentary section. But I didn't really, you know, share all my thoughts on the Oppenheimer business because I thought what would be genuinely useful is to share a survivor's experience, what survivors' thoughts as she lived through the whole lifetime.
Which is a long and impressive lifetime, as we've talked already. You've done so much, and you talk very frankly in the book about some really dark times in your life when you were
That's a possibility. It was deepest part of my mind and soul was the most egregious grief, deepest grief, running through the whole time since I lost my universe. Mm-hmm. But that grief prompted me to do what can I do when I do believe I don't want anybody else to experience what we did, and we want to be the last one who survived and experienced the nuclear weapon explosion.
Hideko Tamara Snyder is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a Rogue Valley resident now, a resident of Hiroshima on the day the bomb dropped in 1945. She was 10 years old. The book is called One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima, out in a revised edition from Oregon State University Press. Somehow, though, despite all the darkness we just referenced and that you share with us very clearly in the book, you focus on the possibilities. I mean, the fact that the book is called One Sunny Day, which it was August 6, 1945, before the bomb fell, indicates some level of sunniness that has emerged in your life over the years, despite this incredible division between the post-bomb Hideko and the person who exists now.
I hope that it makes sense. A pre-war Hideko, during the war Hideko, and post-war Hideko, because this Hideko was a seeker from the start. You know, the first memory I have is I'm looking for insects and collecting frogs and, you know, whatnot. My parents got together, not by arrangement like most other traditional Japanese men and women, but they fell in love. And I was a product of their love. And they were touched by the values of Western cultures. And they believed in independence of mind. You know, that beautiful ideas that you carry on, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They allowed it to come to me. And so I understand somehow a little bit about the Western way of thinking. And I understand where we have got to go. And, you know, I searched, and that meant I read and read and read from Greek philosophy to, you know, development of atom bomb. Everything I can put my hand on. And I went to Tinian and sat on the air, you know, field. And there was two of me that had to come together, actually. That's why I say updated. Mm-hmm. Because the Jake Lifton, a young Yale psychiatrist.
Robert J. Lifton. He was on the show not long ago.
Gives a profile of Hiroshima survivor. He collected about 50 survivors and wrote the book describing us death in life, that we all carry so much image of death. It's that we're carrying, we're acting like a dead person immersed in death experience. And I... being born to the love, you know, union, couldn't really, really stay in that mode. So I had to have one self, which is dead, carrying death images, and the other side, numbed, but bursting with my curiosity and spirit, actually. My spirit, I couldn't numb. My mind, I did. So the book describes how I tried to get hold of the numb self into being alive. The thing I wanted to stress is that NBC's Oppenheimer won a lot of award and took a lot of recognition, and that was fine in terms of the side that dropped, conceived and created the most lethal weapon, you know, that stops me to sort of collect myself. Yeah. But there is nothing on the receiving end of this lethal weapon that's written from childhood on through entire life. So I thought this would be extremely useful for public to know about.
It is. Hideko Tamura Snyder is our guest on The Exchange, the author of One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima. Hideko lives in the Rogue Valley now. The description of the blast and the first few hours afterward are horrific. That's not surprising. Were there times when these memories were simply shut off to you? You simply couldn't access them? Had you gotten that numb that, like, a curtain came down between you and those memories?
Somebody up there, I think, helped me. Because in spite of the fact that the people kept on dying, and then I was prepared to just lie in the rice field, you know, away from where, after I got out of the flame, I ran into a man who took me back to his home, and I was fed good amount of healthy food that was hard to come by at the time, you know. And next day, or the same guy went back into the ashen Hiroshima. And because we were a well-known industrial family, American declassified military map has had Tamura Industry right on the military map.
Oh, as a target.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we lived nearby there. So he went there and saw my father in the burned down, you know, estate, mm-hmm. thinking that everybody died, and informed my father, they have me.
Wow.
And to his great relief. And, you know, I went to live with relations after that.
You lost your mother in a building collapse and fire. There was you were an only child, but there was a cousin, Hideyuki, who was like a brother to you, who also died.
Yes.
I mean, so just so many people you knew. But the relationship with your father is interesting because he was very much about moving on. You know, he married a woman 12 years older than you, just within a few years. It was not a great relationship for you. Talk about specifically, though, you and he differed on the fate of that famous building, the dome in Hiroshima.
You know, my heart breaks even today in 1,000 pieces, thinking about how they died. They were caught in ground zero. He had just entered one of the most difficult middle school by examinations. Japanese mm-hmm. kids always have to take examinations to enter next school. And my cousin Hideyuki, I grew up with, he was my playmate and my brother. And we played together, you know, so much, shared so much. And there was somebody who was alive a month after the explosion, who saw him, you know, described in with melted skin hanging down, and unrecognizable in the face. Can you imagine somebody you love so much, face melted, so unrecognizable? But he was a boy who loved B-29 because they didn't have toys around anymore. You know, we didn't have food, much less toys. But when there will be, you know, thousands of carpet bombing folks, you know, LeMay sent thousands and hundreds of bombers going across, although we didn't understand why they didn't, you know, drop more bombs in Hiroshima. They had plans. Anyway, We all ran to a shelter, but he would grow loud and climb up to the top of the roof. And, oh, my God, that is a beautiful machine.
He loved looking. It's an amazing story. It's one of many. The book is called One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima. Hideko Tamura Snyder is the author and our guest on The Exchange. We'll come back and talk more with her when we return to the Jefferson Exchange shortly. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Hideko Tamura Snyder is with us once again, a Medford resident now, but at age 10, a resident of Hiroshima, Japan, on the day the first atomic bomb hit the city. She lost her mother and so much more, and she retells the story in her book One Sunny Day, revised and re-released by Oregon State University Press. We'll pick up the conversation where Tammy, as she calls herself, shares her idea of singing in Hiroshima to the Rogue Valley Peace Choir. The trip happened in 2006, after a nervous Tammy addressed the whole choir.
I just had to be myself. And I said, you know, maybe many of you don't know, but I came from far away in a place called Hiroshima and, you know, so forth. And then people were tearing, you know. And then I said, wouldn't you like to go sing peace songs in the peace park?
And what was it like for you? I mean, I can imagine what it was like for them. It'd be a very moving thing. Yeah. But this is where you were from. You were there when it happened. Yeah. What was it like for you to come back with this group from Ashland, this peace choir?
Well, it wasn't easy. But I tried and tried and tried. And we had, you know, to encourage some events like a Japan night, introducing Japanese culture. And people started to, you know, and there was Bess Geismer, who was running a travel bureau business. So she tried to, you know, help me out, also encouraging folks, you know, what can you visualize would be the mission of such a trip. Isn't that sharp? I mean, I was really thrilled with that. That was just wonderful. And in the meantime, I took a trip to Japan and started to, you know, shake everybody. Hey, listen, this is important. You know, authentic understanding of each other, not just the trouble bureau, you know, sightseeing. And then people saying, oh, that's a beautiful this hospitality is fantastic. No. That's just a superficial exchange. Soul-to-soul contact. I will find you, people, and it translate everything about you and what you believe in. And let's do the same thing so that we can get together and have authentic encounter. And we did. It took tons of time and tons of energy, but apparently I like challenge.
That's pretty clear as we read through the book. It is called One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima by Hideko Tamura Snyder, who was in Hiroshima when the atomic bomb fell August 6, 1945. We were talking, and we would come back to this a couple times, even in conversations between the recording part of this. But your concern that the world hasn't gotten the message. I mean, why do you suppose we've gotten to this point, 80 years after the atomic bombing, where it seems like people are, number one, certainly more willing to consider war as means to an end, but number two, willing to say things like the leaders of North Korea and Russia.
The world is just as Thomas Hobbes described in The State of Nature, you know.
The Leviathan, the monster.
Yeah, brutish, nasty, brief. Mm-hmm. And given, apparently, tit for tat, very easily fighting or being aroused to, you know, defend or offend. You can see with that brutish state of nature, human actions all over the world, that you see conflict after conflict. People need to be aware that the human beings is not just made of one natural, nasty, you know, we can defend you and we can take you over. Mind. We have another part that we call higher nature. And you know, when you look out to the sky, outdoors, the snow, the trees, and a beautiful universe around us, that we weren't meant to just, you know, kill each other and overcome each other. The truly important algorithm of being born a human being, which is a limited time, and only once, you can't keep on repeating it, you know, coming back. As a maybe insect, like some Buddhist sect would say, no, this is a one-time-only valuable time. Use it from the depth of your soul to make it worthwhile. Please. Otherwise, it may start from a small corner with little thing, and then tit for tat, going back and forth. And the world could be divided, fighting with the most lethal, most unfortunate, scary, threatening weapon called nuclear weapon.
We've talked about the difference between pre-blast hit it go and post-blast hit it go as basically two different people, but it seems like maybe there have been more of you. I mean, we talked about the period when you came close to suicide, and yet you're still so far into life positive up to a point about the capacity of people to be better.
Listen, my grandfather, who was very successful multinational industrialist, was also a very, very devout Buddhist. And we had a chapel in our estate. And every evening we will come and listen to the Buddhist teaching through my grandfather, you know. And as a child, I didn't really get it all that much out of that. But my mother kept on pinching my toes. Keep your head down. You know, let your forehead touch the tatami. So, yes, ma'am. And I got the two things from that. One is life is very short, like the birds flop come to stay on a tree and then move on in the morning at the daybreak. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, there is no better or worse human beings. We are all very valuable humans, and you must be charitable to everyone. You know, and in a class, semi-class society, and we were at the highest class in Hiroshima, and the guy who made the top is teaching us, you know, stay humble and be, you know, next guy, as poor as he may be, charity to everyone. So I learned that basic attitude in childhood. And of course, I was a sort of like a seeking truth. After the bombing, I read everything I could that I can put my finger on. And nobody and nothing told me why this is happening. I couldn't understand it. I absolutely couldn't. And so I reached out every, you know, Greek philosophy or European literature, everything, and I still couldn't understand it. Although I think there was an American who wrote Naked and the Dead, mm-hmm. It talked about war. The warring, especially from moving collateral contingency should be spared to total war and carpet bombing and then total killing and like A-bomb inside as well. You know, the physical destruction with the power of the nuclear fission and radiation harm, you know, kill them from inside as well. I just couldn't understand it. So I studied and studied and studied. How did Manhattan Project come to being? How, you know, how this, how that? And, you know, it didn't. It's a funny thing, I must tell you. When I learned that it didn't just happen, but there was a very long process of people, few people, to gathering and becoming Manhattan Project, you know, it calmed me down. That the human being had some kind of a process of the mind, you know, and this happens in the war. So I really think that my book could be useful for people who are wondering about, because fortunately the Civil War was the only war you experienced.
On American soil.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Independence War, that was so long ago. For people to know what it's like to go through war and what happens to human mind, and then what if you are so stubborn like me, which probably is not very welcomed, you know, by parents when you're very small, very, very stubborn child is a problem. I'm sure I was a trouble to my school teachers, you know, because I would be asking so many questions all the time and not being satisfied with their, you know, quick answers. But anyway, we really need to know, black and white, inside out, what it is to have genocide. And I beg your pardon, but the atom bomb was a genocide. I don't want to openly say things that make you feel bad, because I know the American people had nothing to do with it. You know, it was the military decision and it was the government decision. And you were nothing to do with that. And also, it was such a long time ago. But it could happen if you don't pay that much attention to what's happening in your own locale, or if you are burning with passion of hatred. What happens? I think my healing experience, when I found out the American people were so very wounded by Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. and remember the Pearl Harbor means something a little bit different than I understood before. But I know what happened at the Smithsonian, and you know, there was a debate about not having the posters of the Hiroshima casualty where Enola Gay is displaced. Mm-hmm. And one of the comments was, because that will make us look like we did something horrible. And I thought to myself, if you don't show the poster, you didn't do anything horrible. Mm-hmm. Yes. I thought that was, you know, really, but not in that argument sense. I wanted to have this book so people can pick it up and read whichever part that you like. You know, look at the chapter heading.
Right, yes. It is, yeah. It is well done. Yeah, it's got a good table of contents and guides
and
us through
your life. And mm-hmm. understand what humans can go through in your heart, in your head. And if human being is open to the seeking of truth, you can get to the point, no, we have got to have peaceful world.
The book is called One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima by Medford's Hideko Tamura Snyder. Thank you so much for coming to the station and talking to me about this.
Oh, you have no idea how grateful I am for your having given me opportunity to, you know, share my feelings and not to, you know, in any sense bragging. I recommend you picking it up and looking at it. Thank you so much.
That's it for today's exchange. Hear this and any exchange interview at jeffexchange.org or at your favorite podcasting site. Angela Decker of JPR News is our senior producer and the engineer for this segment. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Take care and have a great day.